Good morning. Well, before I start, you must realize I'm not a prophet. Some people say they're prophets. Well, I thought maybe this morning we were not going to have snow on the ground, but we'd be snowing. So I'm not a prophet, as you can see. But anyway, I'm good to be here this morning and to worship with you. And I love that singing. We don't sing all of those songs so familiar. Those are newer ones for me personally. Usually it's Silent Night and those ones. But that was absolutely awesome. And I'm hoping that, this is the second Sunday of Advent. Now, some of the churches, the more traditional churches, they follow Advent, which is hope, peace, joy, and love. Now, last week you didn't have one, but I hope you heard the sermon from last week. It wasn't on peace. It wasn't on love. It wasn't on hope, but it was on the praying. And Dave did an excellent job. I'm not one to say that, because who am I to say that? But I was blessed out of my socks. I was so blessed to be able to listen to that message. And it's on the internet. It's on the website for Heather Bible Chapel. So look at it. Listen to it. Even the second time, it'll be better the second time. I'm going to re-listen to it. So it was really, really, really good to listen to it. Now, my sermon this morning's a little different. I told you last time I was here, we talked about a very difficult sermon, a sermon that I had never spoken a full sermon on, and that was on hell. Now, during the last couple of weeks, I've had a bad accident, and I've been starting to read Revelations. I am a practical theologian. I'm not a theologian. I look at practical things. And I've sort of kept out of Revelation, which is wrong. I'm confessing it, like the subject last time I spoke in September. But I'm starting, personally, my personal studies on Revelation. Why? Why am I doing that? Because it says in the Word of God, it says in Timothy, all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's what I want. I want to be thoroughly furnished and doing good works. But the verse that struck me when I started reading in Revelation 1:3, it says, blessed is the one who reads aloud the word of this prophet, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it. Emergency, I forgot about that. I have to take my watch off, because when I get excited, paramedics are going to come here. Anyway, look at what it said. Well, I'm supposed to stay here. So there's this thing here that's... I think if I move out of the range of this thing, I'm going to get zapped. Anyway, it says here that if we read the words of the prophet, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for this time is near. Do you know, we're going to be blessed this morning, because we're going to listen and we're going to hear from Revelations. And I thought Revelation was all that stuff, you know, the angels flying and the seven wings. I think you're studying that in Bible study, aren't you? Yes, I should have taken it. But anyway, we're going to look at Revelation, and we're going to look at Revelation, and we're going to think of 2025. So this is my last sermon here at Heather for this year. And so it's not going to be on one of the Advent subjects. It's going to be on something practical, as these are, but it's going to be talking a lot about 2025. I know I'm going ahead of the gun, but I usually do that. So we're going to be looking at Revelation chapter 2, verse 12. So look in your Bibles, please, to Revelation chapter 2, verses 12 to 17. To the angels of the church in Pergamum, write the following. Okay, let's turn in our Bibles. I'm going to put it up on the screen, but it's much better to follow along in your Bibles. I'm using the New Living Translation. And I'll read it. There's just a few verses there, 12 to 17. And we're going to see what God is talking to us about. This blew my mind. I didn't think it was so practical. That's why I've kept away from it for over 40 years. I mean, I've read it, of course. I've heard messages on it. I've listened to videos on it. But I've never really got my teeth into it. I've never really got involved in it. To the angels of the church in Pergamum, write the following. This is a solemn pronouncement of the one who has the sharp double-edged sword. Verse 13. I know where you are live, where Satan's throne is, yet you continue to cling to my name, and you have not denied your faith in me, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was killed in your city where Satan lives. But I have a few things against you. You have some people who are following the teachings of Balaam, who instructs Balak to keep a stumbling block, to put a stumbling block before the people of Israel, so they will eat food sacrificed to idols and commit sexual immoralities. Verse 15, in the same way there are also among you some who follow the teachings of Nicolaites. Therefore, repent. If not, I will come against you quickly and make war against those people with the sword of my mouth. The one who has an ear had better hear what the Spirit says to the church. To the one who conquers, I will give him some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and on that stone will be written a new name that no one can understand except the one who receives it. Now, what is this all about? What has it got to do with us? Well, first of all, there we have Pergamum, and it's part of Turkey today. This is the part of this where Turkey. Now, this city was a city full of idolatry. This city was a wicked city. This city was, for instance, they had Zeus, and he was the king of the gods and the master of the skies. And there was everywhere, statues, idolatry. Well, you could say, Ron, well, come on now. Get with the program, Ron. What has that to do with us? Well, God's timeless promises. This written is God's timeless problems. Jesus addresses the church in Pergamum. Jesus is not addressing the church. He's addressing the church. You're going to say, well, is that not the church? Is Heather not the church? No, Heather is not the church. Heather is you. Heather is me. This is written to all of us here this morning. And it was not written to a building. Thank you. Wow. They're getting excited here. I should settle down. It's telling us, Jesus is commanding us to follow him. First of all, he commends them. Then he corrects them. And then he calls them. There it is right there. He commends them. They were doing good. They were on the right track. They were going good. Like many of the churches are started in Vancouver and Burnaby, New Westminster, Richmond. They start good. But then they sometimes get away from the doctrine. They get away from the Bible. They want to get more people in. Change the program. Change the, don't speak on hell. Don't speak on heaven. Just, these are just the pie in the sky. Talk about political things. Talk about things that will help them. But we find this in many of the churches. But this message in Revelation chapter 2, 12 to 17, is timeless. It's for us. It's for Cascades Gospel Chapel. It's for Heather Bible Chapel. It's for Parkcrest Bible Chapel. It's for 10th Avenue Bible Chapel. It's for 16th Avenue Bible Chapel. For the members in those churches. And that's what sometimes we read this and we say, well, that's okay. We've written to that church in Pergamum, nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with you. But God is telling us, he's commending us, and he commends us. I'm going to mention that. Commends us. He corrects us. And he calls us to repentance when we go wrong. To the angel of the church of Pergamum, this is a solemn pronouncement of the one who has the sharp double-edged sword. I know where you live, where Satan's throne is. Yet you continue to cling to my name, and you have not denied your faith. Now, practically, and I'm not stretching, I'm not translating this, but you could say to the angel of the church at Heather Bible Chapel, this is a solemn pronouncement of the one who has the sharp double-edged sword. I know your life. I know where you live. I know where Heather Bible Chapel's members live. I know that. You continue to cling to my name. Is that not true? Thank God. Thank God, Heather, not the chapel, the building. You people are clinging. You've got your Bible studies. And we're going to go over that. I mean, it's just so wonderful. So the way I'm going to tackle this passage is Overcoming Temptation is my title, okay? So you can write that down. Overcoming Temptation. The first point is the commendation for faithfulness in 2024. That's what we're thinking. Next year, are we going to be as faithful as you are this year? Are you going to stick to the biblical principles? I'm quite sure you will. But we have to watch ourselves. We can't judge this guy or that guy or that church. We can't judge yet. We've got to think of ourselves as a building with members. And this is written to the members. And then we're going to talk about the warning against compromise. Oh, papa. Compromise. That's a big subject. And that, I'm involved in that. Am I compromising? Sure, I'm witnessing. I went to a cruise the last week. And I went up, and everybody was there. And I went up with a Bible, and I gave the Bible to the captain. I gave the Bible to the captain. Pictures were taken, and people were watching. And I gave out Bibles to the workers in Talago, in the Philippine language, and in English, the Gospel of John. Now, am I compromising when I go and do that? And if I'm not living it, we have to live it. And the third the promise of victory for the overcomers. I want to be an overcomer. Do you want to be an overcomer? Do you want to be different? Do you want to win souls for Christ in 2025? Do you want to see these pews full? I do. I honestly do. And I pray for Heather Bible Chapel. God wants to see more people here. And he wants to see us build up in our most holy faith. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. In verse 12, Jesus begins by introducing himself to the one who has a sharp double-edged sword, and that's the word of God. That's what he's talking about. Do we have the word of God in our mouth? Do we speak the word of God? Sometimes it's easier to speak it than to act it. So that's I'm telling you the truth there. But we are called to speak the word of God, and it's a double-edged sword. I know where you live, where Satan has his throne. Do you think Satan has a throne in Vancouver? Vancouver's a wicked city. We're going to look at that too. So you can apply this to you personally, living in beautiful British Columbia, Canada, Vancouver. One time I have a good friend, and he was in the world.
And he got saved. And so one day I went downtown with him. I went to all of the gay bars. Not the strip bars, the gay bars. You could say, Ron, what did you go into the gay bars? I wanted to learn about Vancouver. I went to all the temples in Vancouver. I went to all the churches in Vancouver. I went into the one just down here, and I went in there and I took my shoes off and I did the whole thing. I wanted to learn and I wanted to love. And I walked around the temple many times. I couldn't do it now, but many times, and I prayed for those beautiful people. God died in the person of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for those people that go to that temple. We have to think of them. So Hebrews 4:17 tells us about the sword is the word of God. But you know, this city was full of idolatry, emperor worship, and pagan practices. Is that not the same thing here, just about? Idolatry, is there not idolatry here in Vancouver? Well, there certainly is in Argentina. I mean, they have Messi up on a level up here. He's up here. They just about worship him. We got a new president. They're worshiping him now because he's doing a fairly good job. What a wonderful commendation. You have remained true to my name. And isn't that true for Heather so far? You people have remained true to the name of the Lord. You did not renounce your faith in me. Even the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, in the midst of darkness and oppression, you stood firm. I mean, you started in 1964 and you're still going strong. Praise God. But we mustn't stop there. We have to go ahead. We have to move ahead. It says in the Bible that we are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are to grow spiritually. I think of your ministry next door here. That started in 1976. That's a great thing. Taking care of children. Keep it up. Don't stop. Move ahead. And look for different ways that you can witness to people in this neighborhood. Christmas is a beautiful time. Oh, sure, I don't like here. Come Santa Claus. Here comes Santa Claus. Right down Santa. I don't like that. But through that Christmas season, we can witness so much. People are open to the gospel. People are open to listening on religious talk. So let's use this as a springboard to tell men and women about the real child in the crib. That Jesus is not still in the crib. That Jesus still is not in the arms of Mary. That Jesus still is not on the lap of his father Joseph. That he died for their sins. Use this opportunity. You've done it in the past. Many people have been saved through Heather Bible Chapel. Many people have died, of course, because of old age, unfortunately, but that happens. But they were witnessing, they were faithful to Jesus. How many churches are closing down? In my time, there's 5 of our assemblies closed down. You know, there was a 50 people, 40 people, 30 people, 15 people, 10 people, so finally they closed down. But keep strong, keep strong. Heather is not the church. That is so important. Biblically, the church isn't a building, it's people. As you read the Bible, you have several metaphors. There's metaphors that use the church as the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. We are part of the family of God. It's not the building. For instance, metaphors in the Bible, it talks about the body. We're part of the body of Christ. People don't understand why I love nations. I love languages. I love cultures. People don't understand that I could be in Quebec for 12 years and never once argued with somebody over religion. They say, but you're Protestant and they're Catholic? Yes, but Jesus Christ died for the Protestant and the Catholic. I used to go to the bishop's home in all the little towns, Victoriaville, Drummondville, Sherbrooke, Trois-Rivières, Captainman. I used to go to the bishops, and I would say, I'm going to give out Bibles. I'm not trying to win Catholics to Protestantism. I'm trying to win Catholics to Jesus. And I'm trying to win Protestants to Jesus. Oh, is that right? Well, we thought you were just trying to win our members. Yeah, sure, you can give out Bibles if that's the truth. I said, that's the truth. But the body, the bride, we're the bride of Christ. These are metaphors. The flock, we're part of the flock. Whether you like it or not, you're my brother or sister. You might come from a different culture, a different language, a different part of the world, different ways of doing things, different things to eat, but you are my brother or my sister in Christ if you have Jesus. I love it. When I sit down to somebody, I'll say, ni hao, ni hao ma, and they'll open up and we'll start talking, and that's my. Or I'll sit down and say, bon dia, Portuguese, or I'll sit down to a person, I'll say, mari mari penye, which is Mapuche, and start conversations and give them a testament, a New Testament. That young lady here, right there, she gave me a beautiful tract in Spanish. Get some Bibles, get some tracts. I'll give them to you. I'll give them to you free of charge, but we have to get them out. We have to give them out. How about the family? We're the family. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Isn't it wonderful? Bride and sisters in Christ. You know, I think of here, you have your breaking of bread, family Bible hour, Sunday school, midweek prayer meeting, ESL ministry, Sunday school, young groups, and visitation also. These are just some of the things that you do here. Praise God! But don't just quit there. What can we do? Are you having a concert this year? Yeah, because it's always good. I thought we'd have a crib up here, but I guess it's too early. That's wonderful. Do anything possible to get people to come in. And that's what happened to this church in Pergamum. It was a faithful church. For us today, the message is clear. We live in a culture that is increasingly secular and hostile to Christian values. But like the believers in Pergamum, we are called to remain faithful even when it feels like we are living in a modern day throne of Satan. Let us take heart that our Lord sees our struggles and acknowledge our steadfast. You're going to say there's no persecution. Well, come on with me out in the street. How many times you've gone, poof, a greenie. Or as I said in September, how many people have told me to go to hell when I'm on the street giving out pamphlets or something? Go to hell, go to hell. And I tell them I'm not going there because I'm going to heaven because of what Jesus did for me on the cross. So there is persecution for Christians. If you haven't experienced it, maybe you're not talking about Jesus on the streets of Vancouver. Talk about the idol worship. Have you been around Vancouver? I've been to all these places. I take tourists there and tracks. How many temples are in Richmond? There's that one there that is getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger all the time. We live idolatry. There's an idol right there. You can buy them in shops now. People have them on their shelves. Be careful. Be careful. This is real. Satan is real. And idol worship cannot just be an idol like Hare Krishna and all of these other ones. It could be maybe your work. Anything that is between you and God. is an idol. Maybe it's your Mac computer. I love my computer, my iPad, my iPhone. Or maybe it's your work, maybe it's your sports. Anything that between you and God. I mean, how many Sikh temples are there? How many Buddha temples are there? You know, I don't know if you can read that, but that's what they say. I don't think it's quite exact, but this is Religions in Canada, 2021. Christianity, they say 53, but people aren't, they're just nominal Christians, not born-again Christians. But look at Islam, Hinduism, all of these. I mean, people are coming here, praise God. But they're coming here, you know why I think they're coming here? Because God wants us to tell them about Jesus. And Christmas is the best time. Do you know there's a lot of people don't know really all the meaning of Christmas? So that's the commendation. That's the pat on the back. That's the encouragement. Good work, Heather. Good work, Cascades. Good work, 16. Do you know there's over 100 people going to 16th Avenue that are in the ESL program? Over 100? Praise God. Good work. But we say in Spanish, ojo. God is watching, warning against compromise. But I have a few things against you. You have some people who worship the teaching of Balaam, who instruct Balak to put a stumbling block before the people of Israel so they would eat sacrifice to idols and commit sexual immorality. In the same way, there's also some among you who follow the teachings of Nicolaitans. We can change those words. There are people following the teachings of the Mormons. There are people following the teaching of Mary Ann Baker. There are people following the Jehovah Witness. I mean, this is reality. This is 2024-25. We have to be careful. The internet. I'm on the internet quite a bit, especially preparing messages. All the stuff you get on the internet, you've got to be careful. But God is warning us. The church, you people, me, against compromise. We can't compromise. One way and only one, and yet its sides are two. Inside and outside, on which side are you? We used to sing that when I was a kid. Are you inside? Are you part of the family of God? Are you part of the church? Not Heather Bible Chapel, even though it's a good church. Do you have membership here? Yeah, we have to have it at Cascades too. But to become a member of Cascade, you have to do a form that shows that you're born again. But anyway, be careful. This is a warning. This is a warning for us. In Revelation chapter 12, it's got Heather's name written in it. Compromise. The history of spiritual compromise is continually repeating itself. Well, just a little bit. You know, with the pain I'm having now, you know what they're telling me to do? I've got a lot of people telling me what to do. They're saying, Ron, they're telling me to take drugs. What would happen if I started taking drugs and got hooked? I wouldn't be here next Sunday. See, that's compromise. But you're saying you're in pain. Yes, I'm in terrible. Right now it's only about 5 out of 10, so it's not bad. But it'll work up to about 10 out of 10. So just take 2 or 3 puffs. You know, and then, are you with me? Do you understand what we're talking about, compromise? There's so many examples of compromise. Well, just, you know, everybody's doing it. Everybody's going there. Everybody's buying it. Why don't you just buy a little bit? Do a little bit. I'm not going to start judging, but that you understand what I'm saying. Compromise. This wasn't just a minor issue, but a threat to the church's spiritual integrity. And we are brothers and sisters. Do you love your brother and sister in the flesh? You do, don't you? I sure do. I'm a foster child, and I had three siblings from one mother. I loved them, and I tried to help them. And we should do that in the church. If you see one of your brothers or sisters, don't jump on them. Don't hit them over the head with a baseball bat. Just say, hey, brother, do you really think you should go there? Well, look, instead of going there, come on over to my house and we'll have mate. You don't know what that is. That's the tea, herbal tea. Come and have a coffee with me. Let's go down to Starbucks. Let's go to Tim Hortons rather than going there with those guys. See, we've got to help each other. We've got to work together in 2025. If we want to grow, we can't judge each other, but we can help, encourage, build up, strengthen each other. That happened all my life at Cascade Gospel Chapel. I was in a non-Christian family. Maybe I think they were too strict on me, but I thank God for it. But politically correct. That's what we're using today. But Ron, it's not politically correct to try to win somebody for Jesus because Buddha is good enough. Ron, it's not politically correct to talk about the doctrine of the Jehovah's Witness. Ron, it's not politically correct. Baloney. No. We've got to do what the Bible says. We've got to work together as a body of Christ, as a church of Christ, as a family of God. We've got to work together, fight together, pray together, encourage one another. And if we see somebody compromising, go to them and talk to them lovingly. I've had that done to me many times. I've had it done the wrong way too, and it set me off, but everybody's different. Then we have the third, the last point, time's just about up, the promise of victory for the overcomers. I want to be an overcomer. Jesus' message concludes with both a warning and a promise. He says, repent therefore, otherwise I will come to you and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. The sword of my mouth represents the word which will judge the unfaithful. But for those who overcome, there's a beautiful promise. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give him a white stone with a new name written on it. Ah, this is beautiful. This is beautiful. God tells us to repent. But what is he talking about, the white stone? Well, in the Olympics, in the early years, when somebody won the Olympics, they would get a white stone with a name on it. And that white stone was like a trophy. That white stone would get them into the banquet. Because after the Olympics, they would have a banquet. They would have a party. And they could get into the party by having a white stone. I will give him a white stone with a new name written on it. You know, I remember singing when I was a young person, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. And it's mine. I never knew what they meant, but now I see what they mean. After all these years, do you want to have a new name written? Are you written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Are you part of it? I mean, if you overcome, it says right here in the Bible, if you overcome, you will be given a white stone, and then you will be part of the manna. The manna was God's provision. Jesus Christ is the bread of life. And when you get saved, born again, regenerated, you become part of the family of God and you get the hidden manna. Oh, there's such riches here for it. Such wonderful things. Overcome. The hidden manna symbolizes God's provision and sustenance for his people. Just as he fed Israel in the wilderness. It reminds us that God will meet all our needs. Ask and you shall receive. Knock and it will be opened unto you. I have a place in heaven. I am going to receive a white stone. And I'm enjoying the manna, the bread of life, because Jesus died for me on the cross. The white stone is a symbol of victory, acceptance, and a new identity in Christ. Do you want that stone? Do you want that white stone? Do you want to be an overcomer? Do you know, you have the power in Christ to say no to Satan. You can say no, Satan. You can say, va-t'en, chez vous, go home, go home, I don't want you, get out of my life, afuera, get, go, go. You can say that because you have Christ in you. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Sometimes I don't. No. Sometimes I goof. Sometimes I make mistakes. But isn't it wonderful that we do have that power to say no to Satan? I want to be an overcomer. Conclusion. Let's remember. Commendation for faithfulness. God bless you. Keep going on. God sees and appreciates our efforts to remain true to Him, even in challenging circumstances. And we have challenging circumstances in this world, in Vancouver. We have the enemy all around us. Warning against compromise. It's so easy to compromise. See, this church had faithful people in it, but there was people in that church that were compromising. They were, just take one. They're just taking one. They're just going there because everybody else is going there. That's all. Warning against compromise. The internet is down. Okay, here we go. Sorry. We must be vigilant against any teaching or influence that leads us away from the truth of God's word. We have to be vigilant. I love that word. I stole that word. It's not my word. Promise of victory. Oh, you want to be a victor? You want to be an overcomer? For those who remain faithful, there is a promise of hidden manna, white stone, a new name, symbol of God's eternal provision, acceptance, and identity. Application. I want to take a moment to appreciate each one of you who faithfully serve, pray, and seeks to grow in your walk in Christ. In a world that is increasingly challenging for believers, your commitment does not go unnoticed by the Lord. May God continue to use, strengthen you, bless you, and lead you in His truth. Keep pressing on, for great is your reward in heaven. You have a wonderful legacy here. I've been coming here for 40, I don't know how many years, and I can see the quality. But let's be vigilant. Let's help one another. Let's not fall in a compromise. Father God, we thank you for Heather Bible Chapel. We thank you for what it means to me personally. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for those that have gone on, for those that we just think of some of them, Heavenly Father, and you know how much we love them. We think of some of the preachers that used to preach here in the pulpit that have gone to heaven. Father, we are just so happy to be a part of a growing biblical church. Help us, guide us and direct us to walk in your ways, and we'll give you all the praise and glory that you deserve. We ask this and give you thanks in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. I'll say to you now, Merry Christmas. I won't probably see you before Christmas, so I hope that God will continue to use you and bless you, and have a wonderful Christmas season. Thank you.